It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Winter wallop.
This does appear to be the biggest lake effect event this season.
That is our top story at noon. A winter storm warning and lake effect snow warning both kick in tonight for all of Western New York.
Through the morning commute tomorrow, 3 to 6 inches, and then an additional 1 to 3 inches after that. And then an additional 7 inches tomorrow during the day.
That is a lot of snow. Steve Welch at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says for winter lovers waiting all season long for that big snow event, this is it.
Heavy lake effect snow to the south of the Buffalo area. That's going to linger for quite a bit, at least through Friday and into Saturday.
Welch says the warm winter so far will actually fuel this winter storm.
Usually by this time of year, most of the lake is frozen, so the potential for lake effect, it is still there, but it's greatly reduced when you have more ice on the lake.
But there's hardly any ice on the lake this winter, which means the potential for heavy lake effect snow greatly increased. Again, that lake effect snow arrives tonight for ski country. By Saturday morning, over a foot of snow expected for parts of western New York and northwestern PA. Slugfest in South Carolina. That is the other big story at noon.
First of all, let me go.
The gloves came off at last night's Democratic presidential debate in Charleston, South Carolina. And as expected, frontrunner Bernie Sanders took most of the hits.
I'm hearing my name mentioned a little bit tonight. I wonder why.
The self-described socialist was blasted for his votes on gun control, his comments on Fidel Castro, and his plan for health care.
I like Bernie. We came in together to the Senate, but I do not think that this is the best person to lead the ticket.
Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump. Think about what that will be like for this country.
Vladimir Putin thinks that Donald Trump should be president of the United States, and that's why Russia is helping you get elected, so you'll lose to him.
The night's biggest surprise, though, was Joe Biden. The former VP showed some life last night as he promised to win South Carolina on Saturday.
I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk. Here's the deal. I intend to win South Carolina.
So, who won last night? Conservative columnist Byron York.
I just don't think anybody won. It was a raucous, it was kind of an ugly affair in which many of the candidates spent most of the night talking over each other.
Fox Nation host Tommy Lahren says the optics of last night's debate should concern Democrats.
What that debate stage reminded me of was a nursing home cafeteria that ran out of Jell-O. Everyone was very upset, very angry, very old, and pushing a lot of very strange ideas. But then again, that is the bed that the Democrats made for themselves, and now they have to lie in it.
Last night's debate, the final one before Saturday's South Carolina primary and next week's all-important Super Tuesday. This could be bad. That's the word from the CDC today about the coronavirus. Deputy Director Dr. Ann Schuchat.
When outbreaks hit, it's really on that front line, city, county, or state, that public health is on call.
Schuchat says there are now 57 confirmed cases of coronavirus in these United States.
One of the things we're doing is increasing what we call community surveillance so that we can find cases earlier, so that we understand whether there already is virus circulating that's been undetected.
Tonight at 6, President Trump will hold a news conference where he'll talk about the coronavirus. Mr. Trump has asked Congress for $2.5 billion in emergency funding to fight it. Democrats say that's not nearly enough. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
This is shameful. Puts forth a proposal now that is meager, anemic. What he's doing is late, too late, anemic. Hopefully we can make up for the loss of time.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has proposed $8.5 billion in coronavirus funding. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
From a public health perspective, we technically are in a state of containment in the United States. We have had 14 domestically identified cases here from non-repatriation.
Azar says the immediate risk to the general public remains low. Today, the head of the World Health Organization stopped short of calling the coronavirus a global pandemic. In Scotland today, Prince Harry gave a talk on sustainable tourism. But he made something very clear before his speech.
You're all just to call him Harry. So, ladies and gentlemen, please give a big, warm, Scottish welcome to Harry.
And there he goes. Harry and his wife Meghan will walk away from most of their royal duties by the end of next month. Still to come this Wednesday, major winter storm taking aim tonight. The coronavirus could impact local tourism and drive through ashes this Ash Wednesday.
Good afternoon to all. Well, the week started with a nice taste of spring, but it will end with the harsh reality of winter. A storm system is on the way. Your forecast is coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Wednesday, February 26th, the winter storm warning, lake effect snow warning, both kicking in tonight for much of western New York, northwestern PA. Heavy snow expected right on through Saturday.
South of Buffalo will get hit with about 6 inches, and northern portions of New England and the mountains will see 6 to 12 inches.
Meteorologist Bill Caron says when it's all said and done, over a foot of snow will be on the ground in parts of ski country this weekend. The spread of the coronavirus has local tourism officials concerned as the region gears up for the busy summer travel season.
This is a very serious epidemic, so, you know, we're not taking it very lightly because it's something that, you know, could impact the overall global travel economy.
Rachel Labor Pulvino with Visit Rochester says the coronavirus could take a significant chunk out of the Flower City's tourism dollars this travel season.
International visitors that are stopping in Rochester and the Finger Lakes on their way to a place like Niagara Falls, they play an important role in the overall economic impact of tourism in Monroe County, which does exceed $1 billion on an annual basis.
Labor Pulvino says her group in Rochester is working with federal tourism officials to make sure the industry continues to thrive in the midst of the coronavirus scare. 3 fatal automobile accidents in upstate New York, and all of them involved women. A mother was struck and killed by a truck driver in Wheatland this morning while crossing the road to get her mail. Last night, a woman was killed after crashing into a big rig in foggy conditions on a roadway in Cass Isle. And in Chemung County last night, a female pedestrian was struck and killed on South Main Street in the village of Horseheads. Governor Andrew Cuomo has set a deadline for making changes to New York's controversial bail reform laws. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, and that deadline is April 1st, the same day the state budget is expected to be in place. The law ended cash bail for misdemeanor and nonviolent felony charges. Opposition to the measure has skyrocketed following numerous stories of violent and repeat offenders being released back onto the streets. Democrats who control both chambers of the legislature have disagreed on what changes, if any, to make to the law. Advocates who support the measure say any changes would only take the state backwards, while opponents say the laws should be repealed and the state should start over. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. The popular New York State property tax rebate program, well, that could be on its way out. That has homeowners like Nick George of Fairport, New York, upset to say the least.
They just keep taking from middle-class people like myself and my wife.
George says he relies on that rebate check every year to make improvements to his home and his property. Here's State Senator Joe Robach of Greece, New York.
This is the only thing we've ever done to benefit the taxpayers in upstate New York.
The property tax rebate program is not included in this year's state budget. Let's stay in Albany, where legislation to repeal New York's green light law was introduced Tuesday in the state Senate. Here's Family Life's Bob Price.
Republicans want to force the full Senate into a vote on the controversial green light law, which took effect in December. Among other things, it grants driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Debate about the law is why the Department of Homeland Security has banned New York residents from enrolling in trusted traveler programs. The law prohibits DMV records from being shared with federal officials. State Senator Tom O'Mara of Big Flats thinks the green light law is endangering the safety and security of New York. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. Governor Cuomo asking New York's faith leaders to help register residents for the upcoming census. The governor says if you don't stand up to be counted, the state loses.
You don't count when it comes to getting federal resources, which are billions of dollars. You don't count when it comes to getting representation by an elected official in Washington. You just don't count.
New York spending $45 million to get as many people as possible registered. Part of that funding will go to get support from houses of worship for the once-a-decade headcount. Pennsylvania's unveiled a campus voting challenge to increase turnout at colleges and universities all across the Commonwealth. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar says 2- and 4-year colleges and universities that enroll will compete in 3 award categories: highest voter turnout, most improved voter turnout, and highest rate of voter registration for the November 2020 general election. The statewide nonpartisan effort is designed to increase civic engagement among students. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Okay, Brandon, a pipeline project in Pennsylvania has been scrapped. It would have routed fracked gas from the Marcellus Shale region into upstate New York. The Constitution Pipeline got the federal go-ahead 6 years ago, but regulatory setbacks and opposition from environmental groups have killed it. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania now exploring the potential of using dogs to detect chronic wasting disease in deer droppings. It's part of a $1 million research project launched yesterday in Harrisburg by State Agriculture Secretary Russell Redding. Today marks the start of the holy season of Lent as Christians around the world head to church for Ash Wednesday. But a lot of those churches this year are taking Ash Wednesday to the people.
It's a drive-through through the church where people can come to our parking lot and receive ashes right from their car. They don't even need to get out of the car.
Robert Harvey at Calvary Episcopal Church in Williamsville, New York, says drive-through Ash Wednesday is a sign of the times.
The idea has come, as we've noticed, people just don't have the time to go to a service anymore because they have to work. Many of the people that come through our drive-through last year told me, I'm working 2 and 3 jobs and just don't have the time to get to a service on Ash Wednesday.
This is the 5th year the church has offered drive-through ashes. Ash Wednesday marks the 40-day period of Lent, which culminates with Easter Sunday on April 12th. Several communities all across New York and Pennsylvania celebrating 40 days for life starting today. Activists will spend from now through Easter praying for unborn children and their mothers outside of abortion clinics.
We're standing on the street across from Planned Parenthood centers and praying that God will end abortion.
Russ Nitschman of Ithaca, New York, is spearheading 40 days for life in his community.
It's not a protest. It's love and prayer, but we're taking a bold stand as the church out on the street.
You can find out more about the 40 Days for Life prayer event by logging on to 40daysforlife.com. The Bucks beat the Raptors. Sunny time, 2-minute drill.
Yeah, big night in the NBA. Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't have a great shooting night, but he finished with 19 points, 19 rebounds, and 8 assists to lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a 108-97 win against Toronto. The Raptors had won 17 of 18. Head coach Nick Nurse.
You know, I always say that when we play these guys or play Golden State, you got to score with them, right? And I think our lack of scoring, and all of a sudden that takes a little bit of juice out of your defense. I think that's probably the case.
Other big game, LeBron James scored a season-high 40 in his first career meeting with Zion Williamson, leading the Lakers to their 6th consecutive victory, 118-109 against the Pelicans.
You know, pretty much, I just love to play the game. It's not satisfaction for me. It always comes in a win. No matter how well I'm playing, if it goes in a loss, then there's no satisfaction in that at all. So to be out there with my guys and be able to get a win, and a win column, that's always the greatest satisfaction I can have.
To the ice, it's Ovi time.
Twist your pants in the front.
Alex Ovechkin scored his 700 first goal minutes after being honored for number 700, added a shootout winner to help the Caps beat the Jets 4-3 overtime win on Long Island. Rangers beat the Owls 4-3 in Philadelphia. Kevin Hayes had 2 goals and an assist. Flyers beat the Sharks 4-2. Carter Hart says that's Flyers hockey.
I think just playing hard, and we created a lot of offense, and there's a couple crossbars and posts. And but no, I think we're just playing hard and playing our game.
The Flyers have won four straight, and in Detroit, New Jersey, with a big 4-1 win against the Red Wings. Five-time major champion Maria Sharapova has announced her retirement at the age of 32. Sharapova burst into the scene as a 17-year-old in 2004 when she defeated Serena Williams to win Wimbledon. She won the U.S. Open in 2006, Australian Open in 2008, and completed her career Grand Slam in 2012 with the first of her two French Open titles. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Great job as usual. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, Lake Flakes and Ski Country, Slugfest in Charleston, and The Office for the kids.
Remember, we're but dust, and to dust we shall return. Even if Lent's not part of our religious observance, there's much we can learn from it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. As Western culture becomes more and more secular, or to use Charles Taylor's fascinating word, disenchanted, traditions and practices that were once largely normal now seem more and more strange. Large families choosing church over Little League or smudged foreheads, these things just aren't as normal as they used to be, and the second glances and raised eyebrows they create reveal more than just a confusion about the thing itself. In fact, I'm not sure there's a Christian observance more directly in collision with the widely accepted values of secularism than the imposition of the ashes, a tradition that goes back about 10 centuries and which marks the beginning of the season of Lent on the church calendar. Like Advent, the season of Lent is about preparation. Before Christmas, our Christian forebears thought it wise to prepare a bit, and that by diving deeply into Old Testament promises and prophecies that we'd better understand the birth of Christ in the full context of redemptive history. And so too in Lent, our Christian forebears thought it wise that we should prepare for Holy Week, especially for celebrating the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Now, a key distinction is that Lenten disciplines, beginning with Ash Wednesday's reminder that you're but dust and to dust you shall return, place our celebration of resurrection in the context of our humanity, both our mortality and our fallenness. Years ago, when my grandfather was dying, he suffered terribly for 3 or 4 months. In sorrow, I asked my pastor, why doesn't God just take him? And I expected him to say something along the lines of, well, you know, God has his ways and his own timing. But instead, he said something I'll never forget. Because your grandfather needs to know his mortality before he meets his maker. A secular culture is led by the reality of death to fear death itself, so that we either attempt to control death or distract ourselves from the thought of it. As a result, we learn to live life in light of a moment rather than eternity. The reality of death should instead remind us to fear God, that after death we will meet the maker of life. That's something worth pondering, not just at the moment of death, but constantly throughout our lives. Theologian Craig Gay warned in his book, The Way of the Modern World, that many of us who believe in God live as if God were largely irrelevant to most of life. The reminder of our mortality and the words, you're but dust and to dust you shall return, well, that's a wonderful antidote for what he called practical atheism. Just like with the idea of mortality, our understanding of our own sinfulness is also under threat of being secularized in our own minds. Living in a culture committed in the name of freedom to removing categories like sin or guilt, and one quick to give away nearly universal get-out-of-jail-free cards in the name of sexual freedom, too many Christians lose any abhorrence for that which ought to shock and shame us. Perhaps that's why the salvation that's brought to us in Christ's life, death, and resurrection is so often described as a, quote, wonderful example of love and sacrifice, or how to get purpose and perspective in your life, but so rarely described in the terms of judicial forgiveness and cosmic victory that Paul and Peter and Jesus himself so often used. Being confronted with our own sinfulness is certainly no fun, but God graciously does it. After all, the cruelest thing we can tell someone who's not okay is that they are, as both our secularized culture and our secularized churches too often do. Repentance is a gift. It's the only way forward for those on the edge of the moral abyss, and it's proof that God is kind, as scriptures say. Unfortunately, we just don't hear these things often enough. So thank God for Lent. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, a lot to get to weather-wise. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A storm system heading north from the southern states will be delivering heavy rain, heavy snow, and high winds to our region over the next 48 hours. The call for this afternoon, though, just cloudy skies with a few bits of rain, maybe a few snowflakes in western New York. Temperatures peaking from the mid-30s in Niagara to the low 50s in eastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, steadier rain and then snow will be overspreading the area with increasing winds, low temperatures, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Heavy snow accumulations tonight will be found in parts of western New York. Thunderstorms will rumble through parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Very windy tomorrow with snow or snow flurries after early rain for some. There'll be areas of heavy lake snow east of Lake Erie in Ontario. Temperatures tomorrow falling. Ultimately, we'll spend the afternoon in the 20s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, February 26th. Expect blizzard-like conditions at times tomorrow in ski country as the lake flakes fly and those winter winds whip. Going to be the biggest lake effect event of the season for the south towns of Buffalo. The Tug Hill Plateau, just east of Lake Ontario, will be measuring the snow in feet. Not inches this weekend. Outside of the belts, not much in the way of accumulation. If you're in the belts, though, watch out. Snow warnings are up through Saturday. Democratic dogfight last night in Charleston.
I guess the only way you do this is jump in and speak twice as long as you should.
Former Vice President Joe Biden showed some life last night. He promised to win Saturday's primary in South Carolina. Earlier today, Biden got the endorsement from the top-ranking African-American Democrat in Congress. That would be South Carolina's Jim Clyburn.
I want the public to know that I'm voting for Joe Biden. South Carolinians should be voting for Joe Biden.
Clyburn says Joe Biden is the only Democrat running who can restore dignity and respect back to the Oval Office. It's not a pandemic. Not yet, anyway. That's what the head of the World Health Organization is saying about the coronavirus. Correspondent Cammie McCormick, meantime, says the first U.S. service member has now been infected.
The military says an Army soldier based at Camp Carroll in South Korea tested positive for the virus. He lived off base in the city of Daegu, which has seen an outbreak of cases. He's been moved into isolation at a U.S. Army hospital. Previously, a widow of a retired soldier had tested positive.
Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon this afternoon. The CDC says an outbreak of the coronavirus in the U.S. is inevitable. Deputy Director Dr. Ann Schuchat says schools should be developing closing plans and employers should be mapping out ways folks can work from home.
There can be what's called a popcorn pattern where one community has an outbreak and another doesn't. So we cannot predict exactly where there may be community transmission. We can't say for sure if we will get community transmission, but based on what we're seeing in Europe and the Middle East, we think it's more likely than we thought a week or two ago.
There are now 57 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S. Health Secretary Alex Azar.
The immediate risk to the American public remains low, but there is now community transmission in a number of countries, including outside of Asia, which is deeply concerning.
President Trump will hold a news conference tonight at 6 to talk about coronavirus. Suffering from the winter blues, correspondent Elisa Z says you are not alone.
Dr. Rita Karam with Michigan's Beaumont Health System outlined some of the more common symptoms of seasonal affective disorder.
You sleep a lot, but don't feel like you slept much. You don't feel refreshed in the morning. You don't have inner motivation. Things that used to make you laugh don't anymore. The things that, you know, you don't want to be around friends as much as before.
These symptoms, she says, are similar to those of depression and should be taken seriously and treated as such.
That's Elisa Z reporting. Well, it's a number not seen in over a decade. Today, the Commerce Department said new homes sales in this country rose by almost 8% last month to 764,000 units. That is the biggest jump in nearly 13 years. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, next at noon, homelessness in America. Martha Manikis Foster goes inside out. Let's listen in.
We have a homelessness crisis. 500,000 people are homeless in America. It's in the headlines in California, Oregon, Washington State, and in Pennsylvania and New York.
I think as a country, as a community, as a neighbor, it really is a great moral and humanitarian crisis, thinking about how many people in our communities that don't have a safe place to call home.
Linda Wright is the Social Services Director for the Salvation Army's Empire Division. She knows that people who have a reliable place to live can be surprised to learn who doesn't.
The image of who the homeless are has changed greatly from the 50s and the 60s when we were talking about individuals, usually white adult men, sleeping on what was called, Skid Row at that point.
The homeless population has changed a lot, but it continues to include military vets, 40,000 in fact across the U.S. But people from every age group are among the homeless.
Children, teenagers, families that don't have a place to call home.
Wright directs the Salvation Army's social services throughout upstate New York and into Sayre, Pennsylvania. She says the homeless population growing the fastest is the young adult population. Just as 18 to 24-year-olds are transitioning into adulthood, an increasing number are slipping into homelessness.
Those young adults, young people, are really hard to wrap your arms around because they don't show up at a shelter or a soup kitchen or a drop-in center until it's the last resort.
High school and college students, maybe some we know, are sleeping in their cars. Young adults are using all kinds of strategies before going to community services for help.
They do that couch surfing, and they do sheds and cars.
One of the truths about homelessness that's probably not a surprise is that drug addiction is a significant player in the crisis.
About 50% of most of the individuals that present at our shelters have some kind of addiction issue.
Many are in physical pain, and they self-medicate with illegal drugs. Others have never gotten the behavioral or mental health services they could use. But Wright says that being homeless is so traumatizing that even those who don't touch drugs begin to appear as though they do.
If you don't have an addiction issue or a mental health, once you're homeless for more than 2 weeks, you start exhibiting behaviors that are related to addiction or mental health because of the stress of the homelessness.
It's already a bleak picture, but it gets even more difficult the farther you live from an urban center.
We have some of the largest populations of homeless that are hard to reach in our rural communities.
There just aren't many homeless shelters in rural areas. So when it's cold at night, a homeless person may visit an emergency room because it's warm and it's open all night. That's true of all-night retailers, too.
Individuals who are spending a great deal of hours in the 24/7 Walmarts, they're walking around because it's warm and the lights are on.
The facts are sobering, but we who have homes can help. The beginning point is to recognize the crisis and follow up by learning about the local community's needs, our local community's needs.
Most folks believe that their community doesn't have a homeless problem.
We can also volunteer to help people who are at risk of slipping into homelessness. That may mean joining a planning team focused on helping the poor, or it might mean mentoring someone whose life struggles have prevented them from learning some of the very skills we've developed.
Everything from helping with job skills training and resume writing to, mentoring and coaching people through how to do an interview, sort of that volunteer mentor, bringing your expertise.
We could rally people to collect practical material supplies.
Everything from personal hygiene to teddy bears for homeless children to care drives for pots and pans and cleaning supplies for when someone moves out of the shelter into their own place.
Linda Wright's church regularly lets people know how they can help by posting a call to action in the church bulletin.
Everything from linens to dishes and pots and pans, please donate because the family shelter in our local community, is discharging 4 to 5 families on a weekly basis that need those kind of items to help them stabilize in the next phase of their family life.
Because the Salvation Army receives support from local communities, it is in a position to provide many essential services to families in need, and not only at Christmas.
But there are kids out there that don't have a connection to the Salvation Army, and, we are concerned for those as well. It is a great moral and humanitarian crisis when we think of little ones as well as adults and young people that are experiencing the issue of homelessness.
You can learn more ways to help in this crisis by listening to my full conversation with the Salvation Army's Linda Wright. You'll find the conversation at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas-Foster with Inside Out. on Family Life.
Thank you, Martha. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A storm system heading north from the southern states will be delivering heavy rain, heavy snow, and high winds to our region over the next 48 hours. The call for this afternoon, though, just cloudy skies with a few bits of rain, maybe a few snowflakes in western New York. Temperatures peaking from the mid-30s in Niagara to the low 50s in eastern Pennsylvania. Then for tonight, steadier rain and then snow will be overspreading the area with increasing winds, low temperatures, mid-20s to the mid-30s. Heavy snow accumulations tonight will be found in parts of western New York. Thunderstorms will rumble through parts of central and eastern Pennsylvania. Very windy tomorrow with snow or snow flurries after early rain for some. There'll be areas of heavy lake snow east of Lake Erie in Ontario. Temperatures tomorrow falling. Ultimately, we'll spend the afternoon in the 20s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, thanks for the heads up. Finally at noon. Generation about to fall in love with The Office thanks to a new children's book. It's called The Office, A Day at Dunder Mifflin Elementary. That book follows a young, suit-clad Michael Scott on his journey to become the world's best line leader. There's just one problem. Michael doesn't know how to lead the line.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Love that guy. Michael Scott and his fellow students in Miss Levinson's class, as in Jan Levinson, spend the day brainstorming in a meeting, planning, and attending a party as they work together to make the perfect line. Besides the adorable depictions of the Dunder Mifflin characters, the story sets out to teach kids the importance of teamwork and that it's okay to ask for help. The Office, A Day at Dunder Mifflin Elementary, hits bookshelves later this year. Definitely going to get that one. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.